Well, hello, my friends. This is Hardy White. You don't hear my theme song this week because I don't have it. I have lost it. It was in my computer, and my computer has died. Now, you say, a computer is a thing, and things don't die, but they sort of do. And my relationship with my computer was a little different than with other things. My computer sort of has a brain. And to me, my computer almost feels like it's my robot friend. And by friend, I mean servant. And by servant, I mean the kind of servants you don't pay. But still, I feel so much affection for it. And so when it died, it took with it a lot of things the way that people take with them when they die, like recipes or videos. I guess they don't take that, but their memories are sort of videos, sort of movies of things that they experienced. And when they're gone, that movie is gone too. And now my computer is gone. My robot friend has died. And I sit here with his corpse. And you tell your friends, oh, my robot friend has died. And they say, well, you should cut the head off and try to get that recipe out of there. And I say, well, you know, I guess I could do that. But he's pretty dead. And I think that we just need to sometimes let go of things. Can't hold on to everything, right? Can't hold on to all our letters or all the work we've done for months. I get a little upset thinking about it. But I'm also upset because I certainly hope that my friend didn't have any consciousness, but I guess he wouldn't know he was dead. Do computers know that they're dying? They make that kind of just like people do when they're about to die. So we go to the cemetery and we bury our robot friend, and then some sort of environmental agency comes and says, no, you can't bury that there. Computers are not biodegradable like people. You can't stick them in your garden like we have some of our relatives and then use them for fertilizer. And these beans, we call them Uncle Buddy beans because that's who we used. People don't use people for mulch, do they? Or I guess they used to use them for fertilizer. God bless us, we are all organic material, aren't we? Oh my goodness. And you can smell that on buses. So yes, inorganic material, with the exception of sulfur, doesn't really make this sort of odor that people do. Oh, bless your hearts. Well, as my robot friend died, I started thinking about that movie that's out now, about that man as left alone on Mars by himself. And I thought, oh, both of these are wonderful metaphors for the human experience. Because every time something dies, like your computer, your car, and you're not expecting it, the world changes. All of a sudden, your life comes to a crashing halt. You had thought you were going to get in your car and you're going to drive home. And in your mind, you're already making a cup of soup. You're already heating that water for cup of soup. I said, I'm going to have this cup of soup and I'm going to have a snack pack. And I'm going to have all these other things. And why do I only eat things in cups? I'm wondering that now. Why am I on all this prepackaged stuff? I should just go home. Where's my robot friend? He can set me up with a recipe. Oh, right. He's gone. And if you're stranded on another planet, then everybody's gone. And when I saw that movie and I saw that fella up there talking to his recorder there, and nobody was really here, he didn't know if anybody was ever going to hear it, I thought, that's like my radio show. That's me, stranded on a planet. I know that feeling. And so I decided that I was going to go even more for that feeling. I say, you know, I got this problem here recording the show this week. I'm going to take a little tiny tape recorder, and I'm going to put a blanket on my head. And I'm going to get under there like I did with a child and pretend. And with this blanket on my head, I'm going to pretend that I am stuck on a planet far away. I'm out in space, floating all alone. Well, I'm on the planet, so I'm not really floating. I'm standing. But it's just like floating in a spaceship, like the David Bowie song say, oh, I'm floating up here in a tin can, which is all small. I thought he was bigger. I didn't know. So, oh, in space, you can't tell. So that's just a tiny little astronaut in a tin can. What country is that spaceship from? Oh, it's from Libby, Libby, Libby. That says it right there on the spaceship, spaceship, spaceship. You can tell. A little tiny man in a can. Oh, bless him. I wonder how they got him in there, whether it has a pop top or whatever. How'd he get out? All right, we're going to do a spacewalk now. Here he comes, just as effervescing out of the spaceship. Oh, but I'm stuck here. Oh, all my friends are gone. I'm just here alone. What am I going to do? Am I talking to myself or am I talking to others? This is very strange, almost like prayer. Says, anybody here in this? Hello? And no reply comes. And maybe it prayers like that. Maybe the reply doesn't come for like 5, 6, 7 years. And so you don't realize it. You pray something 5 years ago, and then 5 years down the road, you hear, yes. And you, I'm sorry, forget what I was, I don't know. I had something to do with a horse race, maybe. All right. But this is what that's like. I'm now alone here. What am I going to do? Well, the first thing you do is panic. So the first thing I'm going to do when I really realize that I am stuck on a planet by myself is I think I'll just give up. I'll panic and give up. A lot of people say that for the end, after about a year, but not me. I'm going to panic and give up right away, get it out of the way, and then get on with things. So, it's awful, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to lay down here and die, which is very difficult to just to lay down and die. Extremely hard, because you get hungry and things. They go, oh, I keep trying to lay down to die, but I have to pee. A middle-aged man laying down to die is just, oh, this is never going to, I'm never going to die if I keep having to go to the restroom. So I lay down there and I say, I'm all alone. My existence, I have maybe a year given the amount of food that's left. But you know what? I'm going to use my resources. And a year, what? We don't know how long we have anyway. So I'm going to start doing things. What am I going to do? I get this roll of Lifesavers and I'm going to crush them up into a fine powder. And then I'm going to add some water and I'm going to form them into tiny little rings and bake them. You're just making the Lifesaver again. Yes, well, I have nothing to do here. I have to find stuff to occupy my time. Not everything can be productive, you realize. Sometimes, like, just a hobby, there's nothing for that. I will probably spend most of my time gluing macaroni onto a piece of construction paper in the shape of, I don't know, like a happy bunny or something. And then eventually I'll have to eat that. And so, oh, I can't believe I'm picking all these elbow macaronis off this page now that I'm hung. I forgot. But you know what you can do is you can just take the finished artwork and actually just boil that. The paper is edible. Everything is edible. Everything. The Candyman invented that. It says you can even eat the dishes. So I don't want to, because eat the dishes! And they're made of ceramic. So very cruel man, the Candyman. Eat the dang dish! Oh, it's cutting my lips! The Candyman can. It's a very menacing song. And songs are one of the first things you go to when you're alone. Say, I'm going to keep myself company by whistling a comforting song. Like, I saw a movie one time called M. And that fella just whistled. He was so happy whistling. I think he's killing children. But boy, he had a good attitude. Man, I want to keep my attitude like that. Keep it strong. And I'm not going to get, I'm just keep talking to you, thinking that maybe you're there. And I know all these movies have to do with somebody stranded. The first thing they do is either they make some kind of puppet and talk to that. So I'm going to talk to this ball. Or I'm just going to talk to it. I'll just draw a little funny little face and talk to that. We want to see faces. Want to humanize things. Want to make pets. The thing. So we have company. Feel like somebody is with us. Why? Why is that? Why isn't being alone not good enough? Why do we have somebody? Because once somebody's there, they annoy us. So I just love to have the house alone for a while. So the first couple days of being alone on this planet, I just went pantless. One time I was dancing naked to N.E.R.D. I was like, dun, 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 I'm an outlaw. Dun, 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 dun. And I was like, oh, freedom. Something I cannot do anywhere else. You know, if there was coworkers, they'd be like, please stop doing that. I say, but it makes me feel so free. Well, you're not. But when you're alone, oh my goodness. But then that got a little boring. I say, you know what? Frankly, I'm cold. And I think maybe pants would help. So I put clothes on, and then I thought, I'm looking good. I'll just wear the spacesuit around, too. And that was fun for a while. But what am I going to do to occupy all this time? I don't even know how long it is. But our life is like that. How many years do you have left, and what are you going to do to occupy it?
Well, maybe I could grow potatoes and poop.
That's what the fella did on the planet. I'm probably not going to do that. I don't know if I'm going to farm or not. I've never been very good at it. Get one little nasty weak plant, And the one thing I can grow, which is radishes, I'm not sure if I want to eat that forever. You know, I don't know how to, I think, is there any kind of animal husbandry? And if you had animals on that ship, would you kill them and eat them? Or would you make little friends out of them? I don't even know. I don't know which I'd do. I'd maybe just hunt them for sport. No, I wouldn't do that at all. I think I'd probably make a friend out of them rather than eat them. I don't know, though. I really don't know if I was alone on... But why would there be chickens on the spaceship? First of all, it's a very low-rent kind of spaceship. I tell you what, I should have taken a more expensive one. This had chickens and pigs, and it was some lady had a snake or something. I don't even know where we're all going. In the future, it's like that. You know, they have these space buses, and people are going to all sorts of planets. Who knows what they're taking there? People going to Venus are dressed very lightly because it's very hot. So they just have little Speedos on and everything. And helmets, because you can't breathe whatever's on Venus with some kind of poison. A lot of themes in fiction, you'll see. Well, maybe it's just really one specific Star Trek episode where a planet may look like Eden. And all the space hippies say, oh, we'll go there and live a beautiful existence on this planet. And we will eat the fruits and the flowers. And we all have joy together. And Captain Kirk says, no, it's poison. The grass is made of acid. And the hippies say, yeah, we know that. That's why we want to go. And they go, no, you're mixing up your acids. This is a bad kind. You don't want to do that. You'll go there, you'll be hurt and burned and everything. Your bare feet will be burned. So at least wear your sandals. And I guess what Captain Kirk is saying is all that looks beautiful is poison to hippies. And I didn't understand that when I was a child. A lot of those themes I don't understand. But I do know that this spaceship is a wonderful metaphor for being alive. And I'm definitely alive. And I'm not under a blanket like a little child. So, Harley, why are you adult male under a blanket like this? Well, I'm trying to jumpstart my imagination. Because if I'm in this little space, I feel like I'm in a little space. I feel like I'm protected. And it's so funny when you have those fantasies about being in a space capsule or something. You say, on one hand, it's very comforting. I'm in a tiny little capsule. I feel protected and safe. But on the other hand, oh, I feel alone and isolated and almost like it's a coffin. Oh, my goodness. What if y'all shot every coffin into space and space was just loaded with people, dead people, floating around in their little boxes? Oh, what would you do about that? So why are they up here? And I think some people have had space burials or something like that. I don't want that because next thing you wake up and your head is sewn onto a robot or something. I've watched enough TV. I know what can happen. I sort of want to be worm food. I like worms. They've been looking at me my whole life thinking, I can't wait till he dies. He's going to be so good. I know, I can't wait. It's like the farmers have. I'm looking at that steer out in the field, and I'm picturing it on my plate. And the steer is thinking, I just love my life here. People take care of me. Oh, we don't know what's going on in the minds of others. Perhaps it'd be better to be floating in space, be the only person on a planet. Oh, what would I do? Well, there wouldn't be any need for commerce, but I think I'd still set up a bank, and I'd try to obfuscate the machinations of the bank from myself. So I wouldn't understand it. So I said, I don't understand. Why are you taking money from me? Oh, service charge. I don't know. That's part of life. I've gotten used to it. I think if I was just a matter of subsistence, waking up and saying, what am I going to eat today? I don't know. I think my priorities would be very different. My life would be different. My mind would be different. I would think different things. I'd have different skills. Oh, but what has happened to me now? My computer dies and I don't know what to do. I feel like I've lost touch. Perhaps I am sort of floating. Perhaps I have put a spaceship around myself and I didn't realize it. And I'm cut off from other human beings. And only through this electronic communication can I contact them. But they can't contact me back. Not really. I can't be touched. And even if I get, you know what? I got to take this. I'm going to die. I've got to take the blanket off myself because I forgot one thing that you also forget about in space. And that is oxygen. And we need it to live and breathe. And I was just experimenting there with breathing my own exhale, which will get you a little lightheaded, but it's not a desirable high. There's all sorts of things like that. So, well, that'll get you high. Oh, yeah. And then you puke.
and you have a headache.
Well, that's not high, really. That I think that, to me, is like something that happens in, when you're sick in the hospital. That's just, that's like a fever dream. That's not, to me, that's not high. High is I'm happy. You know, not I think the police are monsters with green hair or something like that. No, that's, to me, that's disorienting. I know that we do not see life exactly how it is. I know that our vision and all our senses are limited, and the world is a lot more complicated and there's a lot more going on. But I want to see as much as possible. Even if I think it's not the whole picture, I like to see it. In fact, sometimes I like to see less than the whole picture. I like the previews better than the movie sometimes. They take all the good parts and they put it right together for you. Say, oh, goodness, look at that. That's just all the wonderful parts. They learn that from pornography. Say, we're going to take actual good parts. Cut out the part where the pizza man just comes to the door and says, yeah, sure, I'll come in. And then put all that together. Movies do that too. So I'll just put the exciting parts together for you. So why can't that just be the movie then? So, well, I don't know. And I think it's a little too poetic. People are used to these stories. And they're hooked on these stories. And stories have endings, but life doesn't have an ending, and life doesn't have a point, usually. It's just a meandering thing that goes on. So anytime you read a story, and that last page says the end, or there's some sort of conclusion, take that book and throw it away. It's no good. There should be another book that comes out, and just another, and the story should not end, and everything should have loose ends, and there should be dangling everything. Everything should dangle. That is really the essence of life, I think, is the dangling. Everything is just you don't know. There's no end. And so how will this story end? Well, most of them just end with the person perceiving it dying. Or like my computer. I'm still looking at my robot friend. It's just the corpse is laying. It's very disconcerting. Because he's not gonna rot or anything. He's just gonna lay there for all eternity. There are no robot mummies. There doesn't need to be robot mummies. It's a sort of already a mummy. It's sort of already in a state of permanence. Can you imagine that if people were already made of stone or metal or something? Oh, they'd be stacking up all over the places we'd be using them to build things with. All these dead metal robot people stacked up. Make skyscrapers. Could you imagine skyscrapers made of your ancestors? You'd just be going up and say, I think some of those people, that family that's holding up the third floor, I think they're related to me on my mother's side. Oh, we are the building blocks of the universe. You know what? I need some entertainment up here. How am I going to get, if I make it myself, it won't be surprising to me. That's the thing about entertainment. I want to see a movie, but I want some surprise. Now, if I make my own movie or anything, I'm going to know what happened. So perhaps I should make a movie and then hit myself over the head with a hammer and then watch it. And do my whole life like that, then everything will be new to me. It'd be a surprise. If you could selectively erase your memory, you'd actually have a better life. Things would be surprising to you. Look at your dog. Your dog doesn't have a very long memory, but see how happy it gets every time you come home or anything? It doesn't differentiate between 5 minutes and 5 hours. Or just, oh, it's just so excited to see you again. And but we, oh, it goes expecting something. Oh, bless us. Can I get you anything? No, because you're not here. I'm all alone on this spaceship. I suppose, should I wash? That's another thing. If there's nobody here, if a fella smells in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, to hear someone going, oh, my word, the odor from this fella, need he bathe? I don't know. I mean, is some of it for health? Do you need to get some of the bacteria off you? But I'm on Mars. I don't think there's any bacteria living here. So perhaps I do not need to bathe. Now, is my own odor going to be a problem? Did I bring my own bacteria? Is it already on me? And maybe I should clone it and then I make a friend like that. Who am I, Hardy? Well, you're actually my bacteria. That I sped up the evolution and the evolution speed up machine because I wanted somebody to keep me company. Oh, well, thank you. What do you want to do? I don't know, man. I just need to be alone, I guess. Could you go somewhere? That's the thing. Oh, I think we think that other people are going to solve our problems. So if I could just have somebody with me, I think I'd be complete. I don't know. I think you can. You look complete now. Now, if you're a half a person and you say, I need somebody else, and I say, I know a fella's just legs, and you go, well, I'm just a torso, then I think you'd be a complete person. But if you're already sort of, and I'm speaking metaphorically, those, if you don't have any legs, you don't need just a set of legs. You need another person. I realize that. But I'm saying if you, it won't complete you, you're complete. Oh, you're already complete. We're fine. Hardy, you're fine being alone here on this planet. And I know as a human being, it takes a little of the purpose of your life away because we are collective creatures. There's no reason we aren't individuals. You know, we're a species, just like any other animals. And they all need each other. And we may look different to each other, but we don't to wildebeests. They look at us and they say, this just looks like a herd of monkeys to me. Not like wildebeests who have different facial features, not going to identify them. And that one over there is an old friend. And to that, but to us, we just look all the same. And are we all the same? Not inside. Oh, all spaceships are different. Mine is crazy here. And I wish, you know what it really needs, my space station here on Mars? Escape pod. I don't know why they weren't thinking ahead. Well, what if one of them gets left behind? No one ever said that. So we better have a escape pod. You can get home. On all the science fiction shows, you just take your rocket ship and it blasts off from one planet to the other. And, oh, man, but in real life, you got to just kind of fling yourself and hope you grab it. And if you fling too hard, you'll be thrown off into space forever. Oh, my goodness. What is that going to happen to if one time we'll find an alien just floating around in a suit? So, uh-oh, that didn't go well. He went outside to do some repairs, and there he is forever. And that idea of something being preserved forever. Forever is a long time. How long is it? Well, the universe does have a finite beginning, and I suppose it has a finite ending. So forever might not be that long. Oh, it's all relative. This hour can seem like you're trapped on Mars for years. So you may, every time I'm with you, Hardy, it makes time go at a different speed. When you're funny, it goes faster. When you're not, it goes slower. And I told you that I could control time, and you were mocking me. But mostly I can slow it down for you. You will die later. So, but I like it when it's funny. I don't know what to tell you. You can't have it both ways. Oh, either I keep you company or I have you giggling. Oh, can't you do both? I'm going to try. Tell me something silly or embarrassing about your time on Mars. That makes me feel better. If I know that other people are having problems, or they feel embarrassed, or they feel silly, or they feel helpless, or they feel weak, it makes me feel better because I feel like I'm the only one pretending that I got it together when I don't. And so I love to hear stories of other people being silly or being humiliated or anything. It just makes me feel not so bad, not so much an outcast. So Hardy, tell me what you're doing on Mars that'll make me feel better. Oh, well, you're going to feel, I think you might feel terrible because I've already written a 1,000-page novel. And everything is going really well. None of it's felt real humiliating. Everything's going fine. The bathroom works fine. No embarrassment or silliness there. Sorry. Oh, no, I'm lying to you. Oh, my goodness, I'm as incompetent at life as anybody. I love to be able to prove it. The radio is really helpful, and I'll tell you why it's really helpful. Because as much as I want to share with you the fact that I'm an idiot, that I'm flawed, I still cover up and lie instinctively and try to seem smarter than I am. But the radio doesn't lie. I speak on it for hours. You know that. And for years, and there's no way to control the message. Eventually, the real you comes out, and people just see all your limitations, and all your flaws, and all your inconsistencies, and all the things you lack, too. And there's stuff that I wouldn't normally tell you, but I know that you need to know it, because I know that you will feel better if you know that we're all, you know, in this same spaceship together, and that you're going through it too, and you feel just as incompetent. And so do surgeons. They open up that brain and they say, I honestly don't remember what I'm doing. And then Spock says, put on the helmet, doctor, and you will get that instant knowledge back. And the doctor says, I can't, I'm losing it. And so Spock talks him through. I've had to do this with brain surgeons. You talk them through the operation. And you say, well, listen, it's my brain. I know, poke something up. Not that one. So you get people to poke different things like that, and you can tell the brain surgeon what to do. Sometimes the brain surgeon is helped by the lowliest of file clerks. I just get the file clerk to do the surgery. I figure it's, you know, it may not be successful anyway, but if it is successful, my bill will be lower. Ah, my friends, what is the price of life? How much is your life worth? I tell you, if you're stranded on Mars, they got to spend a lot of money getting to you, so we're going to get that guy back. But would they do it for anybody? Are there people that are stranded and say, no, I'm not even going to bother to go get them? We do it on Earth all the time. If people seem dirty or poor or useless or dumb, we don't go spend millions of dollars to go get them. That's something we do for people we think are special. We have special knowledge or something like that. Why aren't all people equally expendable or equally valuable? That's just a question I'm going to put out there because I'm on Mars. What am I going to do? I'm trying to play these games by myself, but again, it's like cheating, you know. I just know what I rolled over here. So the clue is the worst, to play by yourself. It's like, I know who did it. I did it. You know, but I can't. And then everybody knows it because I'm everybody. Perhaps this is why. And now in some mythologies and religions and some mystical traditions, this is why God created the universe. You know, this idea of, I'm all alone and nothing is differentiated. Nothing is hidden from myself. Therefore, there is nothing. If I'm aware of everything, then there's nothing. There's no time. There's nothing. So perhaps in these traditions, they say, well, God separated himself from himself. I say, well, this is all nonsense. I'm telling you a story. Me on Mars is nonsense, too. Just listen to the stories. It's just a story I'm telling. So imagine energy or whatever, say, I'm going to separate myself from myself so that everything is still me, but nothing can perceive anything else. It's all hidden. Everything is broken and hidden from each other. And I feel like that as people. I look into your eyes and I say, gosh, we're both human beings. What is separating us? What has drawn us apart? Why can't I fully recognize you as me? I wonder what that is. Is it because I'm a bald man and you're a young little child or something from the other side of the world? It could be. But there are moments when we do recognize our shared humanity, how much we are alike. And usually it's when we have challenges. Oh, challenges will make our true selves come out. Do you need anything? No, robot friend. Are you? I'm hallucinating. My robot friend's alive. Can I check your mail? No, he's not here to check my mail. He's not here to show me funny little videos or anything. It's just me back in the world. I like it a little bit. I mean, my machines were nice, but it is like losing your servant. You say, well, now I have to do things for myself. I'm going to have to go downstairs from my bedroom suite. Thank you, darling. To the kitchen and make my own beautiful smorgasbord. And I don't even know how to make a smorgasbord. I don't have any smorgas. I don't know. Cook always did that for me. But now you got to go do it yourself and feel what it's like to really participate in life and wake up. And then realize that you're alone. I've gone through every book here. There's stacks of books on this space station. I've read them all. I've read every single comic book, and then I've gone back and I've drawn every single panel. Then I've redrawn them. Then I've redrawn them with different captions. That was fun. And then I went through the books, and I circled all the words I like rambunctious. And then I did some drawings. I did a series of drawings. I thought I will do a portrait of each one of my extremities. So I did every one of my toes and I did my foot and everything like that. Did a beautiful portrait of my leg. I got bored with that. Then I thought I'll make sculptures out of my food. And I took those lifesavers that I had and I started carefully stacking them until I had a small little tower that almost looked like a roll of lifesavers. And then I got bored. And then I just sat there, alone with my thoughts, but no thoughts, staring. They tell you when you meditate to not think of anything. And you say, well, I know I'm going to think of stuff like I'm not thinking anything. And they say, yes, immediately banish that. Every thought you have, kill it. If you see Buddha on the road, kill him. Meaning, don't even think about that. Don't think about anything. Don't think about not thinking. And eventually, when you sit there thinking about not thinking, you do effectively start to kill your thoughts and they go away. And as your little thoughts go away, something bigger opens up. Something that you can't really define, but something that you feel, and people that meditate feel this. And some, all of a sudden the world gets really large and infinite. And you feel like all of space has opened up. And then someone says, Hardy, I'm here. I'm here to fix your garbage can. I said, I don't think anything wrong. Come on in, buddy, but I don't know that my garbage can is broken. And I was all meditating, and it took me a half hour to get there, and now I'm back. Oh, but life is like that. It's never going to not disturb you. There's always going to be knocks on the door. There's always going to be things waking you up. Things are always going to break when you go to get into them. That's the rule rather than the exception. Oh, don't let it discourage you. Oh, my friends. I just want to lean over, pick you all up by the hand and pull you up and say, I don't know why others are beating you down like that. I don't know why we can't share these things. I don't know why we can't all be lifted up. I don't know why there has to be this misery. I don't understand it. I'm going to come into this life confused about it, and I'm going to leave confused about it. You know? But I wish I could just give my hand to you. And people wonder that about the show. They say, I don't really understand this fella. I don't know if it's supposed to be funny or is he supposed to help people. I'm not really getting either one. And that does upset me, you know. You can't say, I don't care what people think. I wouldn't talk or say anything if I didn't care what people think. I do care what people think. The point is not to get obsessed with people that you can't communicate with, that you're not helping or you're not getting through to or you're not connecting with. You know, you want to. You can't forget them ever, ever, ever. They are you as well. But it's, you know, not pleasing somebody. You can't put it out of your mind. It just kind of eats at you. Say, am I failing at what I'm doing? Because I'm genuinely trying. So you can't make everybody happy. I can't talk to everybody. I can't communicate with everybody. Really? I just can't accept that. I know that's true, but I just can't accept it. You know, because I'm not really trying, you know, I'm just showing. And I don't expect everybody to like me at all, but it's always difficult isn't it, when you can't communicate with somebody. I've had this idea, get in an argument with somebody at a store or something, you realize we're not even talking. This is just some weird dance we're doing. We're in no way is information going between us here. There's something that's stopping us, and it's out of either one of our power. Oh, and that always breaks my heart. You know, there wouldn't be war if that didn't happen on a grand scale. But there's always little things that are keeping us apart. Always something that's bothering us about other people, or I don't know quite what it is. But now here, I'm alone on this spaceship. I'm alone on Mars. And so I'm starting to get an idea of why I need those other people, and it's why I need other aspects of myself too. I can't do everything. I need my hands to pick things up. I need my feet to help me walk. You know, essentially I feel like I'm just a brain, and all these things are my helpers. Oh, look, I'm going to make little robot helpers for me. How tall will I make and how big? If I make a giant robot, I will feel protected. And I feel, oh, my giant robot's looking out for me. But if I have a bunch of little tiny robot army, I will also feel very protected. So I don't know, if I have just one little tiny robot, I'm not going to feel protected. I'm going to feel like worried all the time, like I'm watching a kid. So don't go over there. Little robot, isn't that funny? We're either protected or protecting. Oh, my goodness. That's all our instinct, too. I am flying in space. Join me, friends. You're flying in space, too. I don't know who you are. I wonder whether your heart is whole or whether your heart is broken right now, whether you just got some bad news or whether you just got some good news. I don't mind sharing it with you because I've been stuck here all day 58. I have eaten all my books. I decided to eat certain words first, like them and coffee. So I went through all the books and I ripped those out, and then I got an appetite for other words, like that and muster. Not mustard. But then I ended up just eating all of the books, and I think, well, won't the knowledge go into my brain? I remember there's those that thought in the past that, oh, if a creature eats the brain of something that's more intelligent, I learned this from Devo, then it will be intelligent. I don't think that's true. You are what you eat. So if I eat Finnegan's Wake, you will be completely baffling. I must have done that then. I must have done that. I must have eaten a book that's very difficult to get through. I must have eaten a book that everybody says they've read, but they haven't. What have I eaten and digested that makes me so different now? I can smell what books you've eaten. Because it comes through your skin on the subway. Oh, you know, there is a story in an Oliver Sacks book about a medical student that took too many amphetamines. I know. And he's listening tonight and he's going, I know where this is going. And he woke up the next day with the ability to smell like a dog. I mean, he could smell everything, where people had been, what they'd had for dinner, other people. There's like a hyper sense of smell, and the whole world changed and seemed different for him. You know, he was getting information that he never got before because of his heightened sense. How much of our senses are blocked from really experiencing the world, and how would it be different if we knew more than we know now? Oh, we live in ignorance and we live in isolation. But what if our brains expanded? What could we know then? What's wrong with your voice, Hardy? I've been taken over. I don't know what's happening. I guess it's in space. Maybe I'm not speaking out loud enough in space, you know? I can go days and days for not talking to anybody because of space. And it's funny how in space nobody comes by and wants to refinish your driveway or cut your tree limbs or anything. So there must be 100% employment in space, which is nice. Also, there's not a lot of crime. I totally leave my doors open. Well, I don't leave them open because the air will be sucked out and I will implode. But I mean, I leave them unlocked. Who knows? I've read some Ray Bradbury, and I'm thinking that perhaps there is this, chance that something could wander in. Another humanoid that's really an alien, but it's pretending to be one of my late relatives. That could be. I don't know. I've not been on Mars before. I don't even know why I'm here. I didn't want to go. I was like, I have family on Saturn. And they said, well, you can't, only the moons of Saturn, really, can you walk on and stuff. Saturn's a gas giant. And I said, well, you know, the family I have there are sort of shaped like parade balloons. And to them, I mean, you would look at them and you'd say, oh my gosh, that's a giant Bart Simpson. And they go, no, it looks like that to you, but if you turn it slightly, you'll see it's a strange space creature, and it's a cousin. We don't know what other life forms look like on other planets, or maybe they're there and maybe they're not. What if we're the only one? Most scientists and most physicists and most astronomers and most astrologers and most astronauts and most astro-industrialists will say to you, there has to be statistically, they pronounce it correctly, but they say statistically, there's got to be life on other planets. And I say, well, what if there isn't? What if we are absolutely alone in the universe? How sad that is, but I think it's possible. I think it's absolutely possible and wonderful. And it doesn't make us special, I don't think. It makes us something odd and creepy, and I like that better. I'd rather be the stranger. What is this slimy, funny stuff on this one planet? That's us, people. We are people. We are like black mold. So don't go on that planet. You'll never get, it's got people all in it. You'll never get it up. You have to pull all the drywall out and replace it and everything. Because once something's got people in it, you can't get them out. Oh, you can crawl under that crawl space and try to take those people out. And they go, you can't take me out. I'm working on something now. I'm having dinner with my family under here. There's a TV set. If people, possums or raccoons were people, oh my goodness, the belongings. Right now, you go into a raccoon's home and maybe he's got like a fork that he stole from somewhere. But people, oh my goodness, you go into their little nests and they got everything, all these things they don't need. They have so many things, they usually don't know how many things they have or what they are, why they got them or why they love them. They just have them. We are the accumulator species. They like to collect things. Why is that? What are we looking for? What item are we looking for that we can't find, that we have to keep getting stuff? I don't understand. Oh, my goodness. And then once things are gone and you're all alone. That's the reality of life. So this is so crazy. But you open your eyes, it's a different way of living. And you know that if you've been in like a stressful situation like that. And everything is suddenly different. And life has a different flavor, a different scent or odor or aroma. What is that, a smell? It's like, is that like cinnamon? Yeah, my life has turned into a cinnamon broom. Oh, okay. That's a little overwhelming. Yeah, well, everybody's life has a flavor. Everybody's life has a scent. You are like one of those 10-cent candy sticks in the shops that are all about nostalgia. You know those old-timey shops you go into and say, this is like an old-timey general store. Say, well, I would like an old-timey general. Say, well, you joker. Mainly we have candy and things like that. What about tobacco? If it's old-time general store, I'd like some tobacco. Well, we don't have that. All right, how about some, I would like some kind of, Ipecac, you have that? No, don't have that. I would like alum. I would like a big jar of alum. Could you get that for me? No, we got, what kind of general store is this? It's not a real one. It's a phony one attached to a pancake house. What sort of nostalgia are you going for? What do you want us to remember? Why all these things? What are they for? All those candies are for, so you'll remember this time when you were a child and you got candy and you'll have happiness again. That's exactly what they're for. Because no piece of sugar is really going to give you that kind of feeling. The candy is supposed to trigger memories. And it's supposed to trigger some memories that aren't even there. And we do that all the time. We give ourselves memories as a human race based on our stories. And then we try to trigger those things, you know, but you can't ever, that's a funny way of doing stuff, you know, it's a funny way of doing stuff, thinking that your memories are really going to provide that sort of energy for you, and not things that are happening in the moment. We're in love with the past and the future, but we can't get our minds around the present, and when you're stranded on Mars, all you can think about is the present, because there might not be any future. And they're really, the past is irrelevant. So it's just now, you and I, together, sitting here in a spaceship. Maybe you're here too. Maybe you're here too and you just can't talk or something. Maybe you came up this spaceship and you had dental work, and now you can't get back to the dentist to get your jaw fixed or something, and so you just, we'd still communicate though. That's no good, because we still write letters and everything like that. Oh, my friend, I try to close my eyes and just picture you. Maybe you're out there, maybe you're not, You know, I don't begrudge anybody any kind of beliefs. I can talk to them about it. But some people like to pray. And you say, well, that seems strange to me if you're non-prayer. You say, well, that doesn't, you're asking God to do things and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't seem to get done, or why would God help this person and not that one? But I tell you, a lot of times people pray, they're literally talking to themselves, because just thinking, you don't say a lot of things to yourself. So if you're just walking around during the day, you don't often say what needs to be said to yourself. Sometimes you need to sit down and you need to say out loud to yourself, I recognize that other people are having difficulties or pain, or I recognize that this is not necessarily a competition. I recognize that I have certain flaws and faults, and there's certain things I cannot do, and there's certain insecurities I have. And sometimes you need to speak things out loud to yourself, or tell yourself you're going to do things like, I am going to help today. I have a friend who's experienced some loss. I am going to go the extra mile today and be with that person or help them or something like that. That's just, sometimes you have to say that out loud to yourself. Sometimes if you're just on autopilot, you never get around to doing these things. It's nice to have that car stall out sometimes. It's nice to have that computer die sometimes. Sometimes you need to be stranded on Mars. You just do. Sometimes you need a crash course in you. Say, you don't know me, Hardy. Oh, I've done a lot of bad things. Oh, I don't know if I can be redeemed. I don't know. I'm not speaking to you specifically. I'm sorry. Oh, my good friends. The minute I know you, I can't help you. I can only help you as a stranger. Because as a stranger, I'm no threat at all. If we were just to sit across the table from one another, eventually you would stop listening to me. You could say, well, I can see right through this guy. He's got this problem. He just put too much sugar in his coffee or something. I do not take sugar in my coffee. I was just using that as an example. But you would find a reason to perhaps not listen. But a stranger, oh, you're just eavesdropping on a stranger. There's no threat. I will never know whether you listen to me or do not listen to me. I will never take it personally, because I don't know. That's the thing, too, is when somebody don't like you, it's so nice when they don't tell you. When they tell you, it takes it to a whole nother level. Then you got to think about it for a while. So I wonder why that person told me they didn't like me. I wonder if I need to interact or something. It's always strange. I know y'all go through that too. Oh my goodness, with this is life, isn't it? So, oh my word, you're taking the banal and you're making it something else. You'll take a cup, bury it in the ground, and you'll then have a ground cup. That's that old song. I don't know what to do with myself. I suppose I'm just going to sit here and stare a lot, or think of things, entertain myself. What does that even mean, entertain yourself? Why do we need to be entertained? We need excitement, perhaps. Perhaps biologically, we're used to chasing things. Like we're used to, I'm a monkey, and I'm going to chase a little critter around until I catch him. And then I'm going to go and share his guts with other little monkeys. Maybe that's the way we're supposed to be. I do not know. And in the absence of that, our brains are restless. Again, I don't know. I'm not an anthropologist. I'm just not. I am anthro. I identify anthro. A lot of people I know identify anthro are not. They're alien. But they're like, I feel more comfortable around hominoids. I can't blame you. I understand that, how that is. Oh, my goodness. I had been working on a song. I had been working on a story when my computer died. And I think that I wanted you to hear the song and then say, oh, that made me happy and that made me laugh. And then the extra thing about it was to say, oh, and you did a good job and you're impressed and everything. And I think the only thing I lost in losing that song were the strokes, because I think I can still make you happy. But I think what I lost is like, oh, they're not going to know how wonderful I did. And everybody loves that praise. When it stops from your parents or when you're little, from your teachers, you look for it again. We all want it. We all want someone at the end of the day to say, you did a good job. You pulled your weight. You did what you were supposed to do. Well done, pig. You have earned your rest. That's all anybody wants to hear, and we don't. And we don't. And we come home discouraged. Like, why am I even doing this? Am I even needed? Does anyone even notice I'm here? Am I stuck alone on Mars just going through? Why survive? Why not just take some sort of pill in my first day on Mars? What is interesting about being alive if I can't be alive with other people? What is the point? Is it still being alive if I'm alone? I don't know. I think it is. I think it is, because I think you contain my old friend Walt Whitman. So you say a lot of disparaging things about Walt Whitman. The only reason I do is because I know him personally, and I got to tell you, as talented as he is an annoying person. And I bless him. That's not his fault. But one of the things he says is that we were talking, and he said, I contain multitudes. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, there's about 400 tiny little refugees in my left breast. Really? Yes. Yes, I contain that, and I consider them a multitude. I go, well, that's a lot of people. But I said, I have 1,000, all right, Chinese troops shrunken in my stomach. And I think that's a multitude. And they're in there, and they're angry, and they're hungry. I said, well, I can't. That's even more. And we went back and forth like that, trying to top each other with how many little tiny people are living in our bodies, and whether we do really contain multitudes. And we came down to the idea that we really didn't. We were some sort of singularity. And we laughed. And then he reached over and he pulled my beard, and I slapped him because I thought, you're in my. I didn't do it. It was just a reflex, because I felt like he's in my personal space. I'm not violent. I don't know why I did. He understood. He laughed. I was like, don't touch my beard, man, without asking. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hit you. I just like it. It freaked me out a little bit. And I just did the first. I was trying to bat your hand away, and I hit your face. Now everybody here thinks I slapped you. So it's a very embarrassing. And you're the one who reached for my. Why did you do that? Sometimes our actions are merely reactions, and yet we still have to take responsibility for them. How do we do that in a world that may not have free will? How do we understand what it is that we do? Well, I don't know, but I'm going to try to find out this week. I'm going to go to the library and all sorts of things. I'm going to do all sorts of interpretive dances. I'm going to start living my life as if I'm alone and with people at the same time. I'm tired of having pretense. I'm tired of pretending. I guess that's why I'm not very consistent. I absolutely cannot. I have such a problem with work. I'm coughing. I'm doing everything wrong, and I'm almost doing everything wrong on purpose. And the reason is because nothing is precious and permanent. You can't make your reputation perfect. You know, if you're an entertainer or something like that, you can't have complete control over your image. You are flawed and you are chaotic, and I am flawed and chaotic. And now sometimes I'm going to say things I know are very, very funny, and I'm proud of that, and that's great. And other times I'm going to say things that are ridiculous and that aren't, or that aren't wise. But you know what? I'm going to keep talking. And I'm going to keep talking, because that's real. And it's not me pretending to be anything. And I think people need that. You got to see warts and all. You know? And when you see reality shows on TV, those are fake warts. They're making people to be ridiculous. And I'm trying to be ordinary. And being ordinary involves being boring and being inconsistent. And sometimes it's like watching paint dry. You understand? It's not always that excitement, and we've become so in love with it that now even the politicians try to do crazy things to get people all riled up and everything. You know? Because it's all about that image and creating characters when you're just so complex and it's more than that, friend. And friendship is so much more important than fandom or anything like that, or people, interacting with people like that. It's much better to be friends. It's much better to see people in person, to help them, to put your hand in theirs. It's much better. Sometimes it's important to be serious, and sometimes it's important to be funny. And I just think it's important to do it together and to have a spirit of cooperation, which I think is greatly lacking in the world. And so I would like to call out to my fellow human beings from the planet Mars and say to you what has been said to you for millennium over and over again by many people, and that is, come on now, get your together. Let's stop this insanity. Stop your anger. Take a big breath. Stop putting people down. Do you not know what it means to love each other's hard? It's hard work. And a lot of people, I don't think, are up for it. I don't think they can survive. Loving is like living alone on Mars, man. It's not easy, but it's necessary to survive. We will all be in great pain and agony if the forces of discord and hate and fear are to win. Keep it weird. Keep it funny. Keep it loving. Confuse those who hate. Confuse the fearful. Bring them over to our space station. Let them float in space like Bowie, and they will be better. Put them in that tin can with those floating beans. Oh, my friends, what a crazy day. I'm so glad I got to visit with you. I had a backup here to be able to talk to you. Otherwise, I wouldn't, and that just was breaking my heart. I thought, oh, my friends, I can't be with them. So I'm glad that I could be here on Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White, which is who I am, that you're listening to on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org online, or 91.9 in blessed Rockland County. Oh, my friends in blessed Rockland County, sitting there like the Martian. Oh, I am reaching out to you. Let's rescue one another. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be with you again next week. I was standing. I was standing at the crossroads. And do you know somehow I could not?
Of course, we want to remind you that these 15 minutes of gospel music are being brought to you through the courtesy of your friends and mine at Lightning Auto Parts and Car Service. That's right, Lightning Auto Parts and Car Service, located in the Flatwood community. They're open Monday through Friday and all day Saturday and Sunday. Now, remember, in the event you'd like to pick up some used parts and you'd like to get them off of the automobile, you can do so if you go out to Lightning Auto Parts and Car Service. As a matter of fact, you can pick up that part today. That's right, you can buy those used parts at half the price of new parts and get the job done. Lightning Auto Parts and Car Service, located in the Flatwood community area. And by the way, they'll be so glad to pick up any of those abandoned automobiles you have. Have any abandoned automobiles around the house you no longer have any use for? They're just laying on the premises? Well, and then you need someone to come by and pick it up. Then you need to give Lightning Auto Parts and Car Service a call. The number, once again, is 269-5813. That's 269-5813. That's Lightning Auto Parts and Car Service, where they're open Monday through Friday and all day Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. Sinners Crossroads Gospel Broadcast, you are tuned to here on WFMU.